From Hobart, Australia, DX Extra. From Hobart, Tasmania, Australia, welcome to the DX Extra, the extra thing you need to digest your shortwave news. It's show number 12. Hope you're all doing well. Just a reminder, our blog is at www.dxextra.blogspot.com.au and our email address is hriradio@gmail.com. It's not much longer until the end of the A14 schedules, which cease on the 25th of October. We will keep you up to date with the changes. In the headlines for this fortnight, WRMI expands broadcasts, RTE 252 longwave closure, New Australian Sky News International Channel, Radio Australia cutbacks, REE hanging on until October 15th, and from the archives, All India Radio. WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida will add 3 hours per day of programming from family radio in Asian languages. This is in addition to the 2 hours per day of Spanish language programming from family radio that WRMI already broadcasts. The new broadcasts will be in Chinese, Japanese, and Hindi. This will be a short-term experiment, explained WRMI General Manager Jeff White. But if results are good, it could be extended. The idea is to see how well these broadcasts can be received by listeners in China, Japan, and India. These are very distant target areas from Okeechobee. But recent listener reports indicate that our signal is audible in much of Asia at certain times and frequencies. If that is confirmed, we may be able to begin broadcasts of other programs to these Asian audiences. The schedule for family radio broadcast via WRMI as of October 1st, 2014, as follows. 10 to 11 hours UTC daily on 7570 in Japanese, 11 to 12 hours UTC daily on 7570 in Chinese, 23 hours to 0 hours UTC daily on 5950 in Spanish, also at the same time and same frequency from 0 to 1 hours UTC, and 1 to 2 hours UTC daily on 15770 in Hindi. The Japanese and Chinese language programs are on a beam to Western North America but will also be intended for listeners in Japan and China. The Hindi language programs is on a beam to Europe and the Middle East, but will also be intended for listeners in India. The two Spanish language hours are two different programs. Radio Miami International acquired the Okeechobee transmission facility from Family Radio in December, and that was via the Bulgarian DX blog. With fewer than 3 weeks to go until RTE Radio 1 brings its historic long-wave service on 252 to an end, the Irish community in Britain has responded with fury and dismay. The move, which was announced with just over a month's notice, is part of the Irish broadcaster's new focus on digital platforms. But the decision to cease transmission from October 27th was described as a bitter blow to Irish people in Britain as well as other parts of the north of Ireland. Eddie Walsh, who is the PRO of the Workers' Party in Britain in Nottingham, said other options are not open to all of us. I cannot get RTE on my car radio except on longwave, and I certainly do not want to listen to it on my computer. The current radio ads only refer to the island of Ireland, thus not even mentioning those of us on this side of the Irish Sea. He added, I would suggest that the station has underestimated the number of listeners. Meanwhile, Irish Post reader Sean O'Rin said, I have a small radio beside my bed and listen to RTE on 252 every night. There is no way that I can use any digital apparatus in its place. There must be thousands of Irish people here in England who are in a similar position. We will become completely isolated from our native home. The loss of longwave service comes after the broadcaster closed its London offices in 2012. Tom Maguire, head of RTE Radio 1, estimates that no more than 2,000 people use its service. RTE said that 98% of its Radio 1 listeners would be unaffected by the move. It added that to measure longwave listening numbers in Britain would prove a prohibitive service cost. When contacted by the Irish Post, an RTE spokesperson said, we will be running an extensive on-air campaign to inform people of the alternatives to longwave. The campaign will become more and more detailed in terms of where RTE Radio 1 is available as we near closure. RTE confirmed that it would work with agencies in Britain to let Irish people, groups and societies know what is happening and how they can keep listening. When asked for a response to its loyal listeners in Britain, many of whom did not use the internet, RTE acknowledged that not all of its listeners have access to broadband and other data services. But they added, we would like to think that as older people adopt such technologies as smartphones, the radio will be a helpful starting point. Radio apps are simple to use and immediate in access. We do understand that this is a source of inconvenience to some listeners, and we do regret it. In Ireland, the move was also met with criticism in some quarters. Writing in a national newspaper last week, columnist John Waters said the broadcaster had essentially told the diaspora to modernise or take a running jump. And last week, Ireland's Catholic bishops urged RTE to reconsider its decision to stop the service. Bishops' Conference spokesperson Martin Long said the bishops' real concern is that people on the margins, who should be the concern of the national broadcaster, are going to be the worst affected. Whether it's the elderly in Northern Ireland or in Britain, who have always relied on RTE for its Sunday worship programs, these are the people that the bishops are now very concerned about. The bishop said that serving a marginal audience should be a priority, while calling on RTE to carry out a survey to determine the actual number of listeners to longwave broadcasts of religious programs and how prepared those listeners are for a digital switchover. With regards to listening figures, RTE pointed to anecdotal evidence suggesting a significant reduction in Radio 1 listeners from Britain who mentioned longwave in its communication with them. They said their digital figures in Britain have risen each year since the launch of its RTE radio player. While as of last month, 10% of its total listening to Radio 1 channeled through computers and smartphones in Britain. And that was via the Irish Post.
Thank you.
At the end of last month, the Australia Network, the ABC's external satellite TV station, was cut. Instead, Australia Plus began. While satellite hobbyists have said the satellite transmissions are still on the air with a new logo, it shows cutbacks from a loss of produced content specifically for the then Australia Network. Instead, it is just relaying local Australian content. According to Australia Plus website, most content is a mix of ABC News 24, ABC One, and ABC Two programming. The station will continue to be on terrestrial TV into the Asia and Pacific region, but there is no mention of C-band satellite transmissions. At a time when Australia is losing an international channel, news has surfaced from the newspaper The Australian. Sky News is launching an international television news service in November to replace the ABC's Australia Network, which was axed in the federal budget. While the Australia Network cost taxpayers $223 million over 10 years, Sky News Australia Channel, a subscription service via the internet, will broadcast to 180 countries, including China and the Middle East, at no cost to the taxpayer. Australians travelling overseas will become accustomed to seeing the news channel because it will also be the news service available in Qantas lounges internationally. Sky News Chief Executive Angelo Frangopoulos said the Australia channel will be available globally and will broadcast Australian content produced by the local Sky News operation. This to us is a similar commitment to the one we have with APAC, Australia's public affairs channel, and it shows good outcomes in the national interest, don't necessarily have to be delivered by a government-funded broadcaster, Mr. Frangopoulos said. It will leverage the breadth of our content across all of our channels. We're also in the process of making a small number of appointments directly involved with the Australia channel itself, he said. Australia Channel is a collaboration between Australian News Channel and broadcast provider Globecast Australia, owned by its chair, Peter Cosgrove, the Curran family, and France Telecom. While it is an over-the-top service distributed via the internet, Mr. Frangopoulos said it was not only for the laptop or tablet. It is designed for distribution via connected televisions and set-top boxes, he said. We're not locked into any thinking about how the service will evolve. That will be up to our international viewers, be they expatriates or people in the business world. We believe it will have an important role to play in supporting Australian business and trade internationally, he said. Globecast will announce shortly the ways viewers will be able to watch the news service, but Mr. Frangopoulos said it will be able to be viewed on television as well as other devices. Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull and opposition communications spokesman Jason Clare were both briefed over the weekend on the new Australia channel. Sky had submitted a tender for the Australia Network service under the Gillard government. But despite the fact Sky was favoured by two expert recommendations, the ABC was controversially awarded the contract by then-Communications Minister Stephen Conroy. The news of Sky's new Australia channel comes at a sensitive time, with 70 ABC staff losing their jobs as a result of the ABC's Australia network being dismantled. ABC Managing Director Mark Scott said, "Last month we shared the disappointment and frustration of the on-air and off-air staff who were losing their jobs after the funding cut. It is a sad time across the corporation as we say farewell to many colleagues who have already gone or will be leaving us in coming days and weeks as a result of the loss of the Australia network funding," Mr. Scott said in an email to ABC staff. Under the subscription model, Sky News and Globecast will deliver international news without the financial burden falling to the taxpayer. Australia Channel will include coverage of Australian business, politics, sports and news. Globecast Australia Chief Executive Simon Farnsworth said the long-term strategic partnership with Australian News Channel provided an opportunity to deliver a range of services to corporate customers and other consumers around the world using alternative technologies. The launch of Australia Channel will deliver a core component of Globecast Australia's strategy to deliver television channels and broadcast content via the internet, he said. Mr. Farnsworth said Globecast would also partner with experienced technology companies, Brightcove and Akame, to provide the most up-to-date and proven cloud-based solutions. Sky News Digital Director Kylie Merritt said Australia Channel had a broad remit to provide a comprehensive service allowing subscribers to choose the content they want and the format they want to watch it in. From the article, it seems the ABC's Australia Plus network will cease and become Sky TV's commercial Australia Channel. Globecast Australia is a satellite provider, so it may become a similar platform to stations such as CNN and the BBC World Service TV.
Across Asia and the Pacific, you're listening to Radio Australia.
Radio Australia, 24 hours a day in English, and also in Chinese.
这里是澳洲广播电台 Radio Australia.
Indonesian.
这里是我们的电台 siaran dari Radio Australia.
Khmer. Pigeon.
Welcome now. Long talk is in broadcast. Become long Radio Australia.
And Vietnamese. For tuning and program guides, go to abc.net.au/ra.
Radio Australia is now on relay to 180 stations in Asia and the Pacific. Our English service is now heard live 24 hours a day in Suva on 92.6 FM. Port Moresby's 101.9 FM now carries our English and Tokpisin services around the clock. Radio Australia news can now be heard in Bangkok on Metropolis 107 FM. In Phnom Penh, our English service is heard 24 hours a day on 101.5 FM, and the respected Women's Media Centre now relays our Khmer service and news bulletins in both Khmer and English. More 24-hour live relays are planned for the coming months, and we've recently conducted trial digital broadcasts into Europe. Via FM relays and partner stations, satellite, shortwave, and the World Wide Web, this is Radio Australia, going from strength to strength.
This is Radio Australia, the international service of the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
More sad news for the ABC. The ABC's international broadcaster, Radio Australia, has also had a funding cut. The announcement on Radio Australia's website has been removed. This affects programming costs and a decrease in shortwave transmissions. The only produced content will remain is Radio Australia's Pacific Beat, with all other programming coming from domestic ABC radio programming. On a plus side, international listeners will enjoy new alternative music programming. Triple J's program Unearthed now airs covering the midnight to 4 a.m. slot, Melbourne time. The ABC's popular current affairs program, Asia Pacific, was axed August 15th, as well as all other Radio Australia produced content. According to the Radio Australia schedule, Tokpisin, French, Pidgin, and Bislama language content is now only broadcast for 30 minutes twice a day in the 1:30-minute current affairs segment. It now broadcasts on the same frequencies carrying the English service of Radio Australia at 17:30 and 20 hours UTC and only on weekdays. This means all foreign language transmissions that used to broadcast on separate frequencies along with RA's English service have ceased. And finally, The Radio Exterior de España saga continues a little longer, with shortwave transmissions extended. I just want to let you know that REE has published a communication in its webpage regarding the end of their shortwave broadcasts. The definite cutoff will happen on October 15th, 2014 at 22 hours UTC. REE will continue though, and will be accessible through the internet and also via satellite. Here in Spain, they will also be available locally via the TDT-DVB-T system for regular TV broadcasts, multiplexes into which digital TV signals are combined, are also used to carry digital audio data for radio stations that therefore can broadcast using this system as well. And that was via the Shortwave Listening blog post. This news was not enough. We recommend The World of Radio by Glenn Hauser, the website www.worldofradio.com. The DX Extra is being relayed via World FM 88.2 FM in Tawa, near Wellington in New Zealand, worldfm.co.nz. All the details are on the webpage. Before we go, it's time to get an audio clip out of the archives. This is a home recording of All India Radio, December 8, 2004, on 13730.
Broadcasting to you from the analog service of All India Radio.
You're with us on the General Overseas Service of All India Radio. In our program of Carnatic Instrumental Music, we now bring you a Veena recital by E. Kalyani. Listen to Rag Khamas.
Until next time, remember, shortwave radio is still full of mysteries. Keep tuning and keep reporting. Take care and stay safe. No matter where you are, no matter how you listen, no matter how you look, you're listening to the International Service of Australia. The voice of Tasmania, Hobart Radio International, or HRI for short. On the web at dxextra.blogspot.com.au.